She says Rich told her that he knows us.
Rich knows us?
Yeah.
Yeah, he knows us.
Yeah.
I never have met him, but we've been working with him for so long, I feel like we know him.
I know. It works that way with some people.
Okay, here we go.
1370 WOCA.
All right, 23 minutes before 11 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in. Every time we talk about education, somebody's got an opinion about what works best, what is best. And I just will tell you from my experience, I was just talking to our next guest off the air, and I was telling her that we have a lot of teachers listening, and it just happens that she's going to be talking to us about education. Her book is called The Hair Three-Legged Table Solution for Education. She's going to explain the name in just a little bit. But I wanted to throw one thing in here. When Robin and I interview students, and we get students in here from all walks of life, and they're usually in here because they've achieved some kind of a level of success, or maybe they were given an award, so you keep that in mind. In other words, we probably see the cream of the crop when we have students in here.
Top of the line.
But,
yep.
But the point is that they represent both public schools, private schools, homeschools, and if there's any fourth category, I don't know what it is. But for those who say public schools don't do a good job, well, those students show you that they do sometimes anyway. For those who say homeschooling is a bad choice, well, those students seem to do well. And so I don't know. There might be an answer to all of this if we kind of look at all of this. And it looks like our guest has done that looking. Beatrice R.D. Hare is on the phone. I hope I'm saying everything right with her name. She's written a book. The book I just told you about is called H3LT, The Hare Three-Legged Table Solution for Education. Let's find out about this from Beatrice herself. And good morning, Beatrice, now that we're on the air.
Good morning, Larry. Such a pleasure to be on your show.
And where are you? Where are you calling from?
I am actually calling from North Carolina, Salisbury, North Carolina.
Okay. So, yeah, and in the intro, I kind of alluded to the fact that we have kind of a rose-colored glasses view of education because Robin and I are in a unique position there. I mean, they're not going to send somebody in who has failed into a radio show.
Right.
Okay.
And believe it or not, that's one-third of the students that I've worked with. I was a classroom teacher for 8 years, and I really, really felt drawn toward my time that I could make that be one-on-one with students. It's just something about whether it be public school, private school, charter school, homeschool. If a child is getting their individual educational needs met, then you've achieved everything. And I realized that. So I did the entrepreneurial thing. I literally stepped off the cliff and bought land, built a building, and opened a school where all the students receive one-on-one instruction. In other words, there's not one teacher with 25 kids like it was when I was in the classroom.
Oh, really?
And I liked being in the classroom. I was an awarded teacher. And I enjoyed it, but I remember teaching lessons and thinking, oh, there's a light bulb, Johnny got one back there. And then I would say, and it'd be an hour later, and then Maria would get one over here. And I remember thinking, wouldn't it be great if I could get those more consistently, and if I could create and design a program that those would happen without it being kind of random.
Wow.
And so the programs that I design are totally individualized, customized. So I take each student where they are. And you're talking about the top kids that come to interview on your show?
Yeah.
We have that. I had a girl walk in the door. Her name is Lindsay. She was number two in her class. And in order to get a $111,000 scholarship, she needed to be number one. So we were grooming the top there. Right?
Yeah, sure.
In AP Calculus.
Yeah.
So that's one type of student that needs an individualized, customized plan. And what a shame it would have been if she hadn't received that. It was her goal. She was ambitious. And
that's
she
right.
wanted to succeed. And so we orchestrated a program that would be just about the calculus, just about what she needed, and just about specifically what she needed within that calculus. So it was tailor-made for a very busy girl.
What you just told us about the one-on-one is exactly what they tell us. We have a school here in Ocala that caters to autistic children, and those autistic children typically had been in public schools that it just wasn't working for them. And when they go to the autistic school, which is called New Horizons Academy for those in the area, the children do much better. And the reason we were told that there's a difference. It's not because the public school teachers don't know what they're doing. It's just that they have too many kids.
Exactly, and it's not really that the teachers aren't great. I know there's been a lot of, and I follow the national dialogue very closely, and a lot of criticism falls on the teachers. You know, why aren't the teachers doing their job? Why aren't the teachers getting the results? Why are America's numbers so low? It's the teachers' fault, et cetera, et cetera. And I really, really don't really buy that. You know, there's a sense that there's a lot of good teachers out here.
Right.
I think good teachers just need great tools.
Well, the three, explain the three-legged table. What does that mean?
The premise of the business. So my business is a proven concept. It's a, you know, proof has been provided that it works because I opened a school 15 years ago, and we've served thousands of children, and I take each family individually. And sure, I have, you know, a franchise system where it's videos and DVDs and people learn how to learn the system. But it's a three-legged table, and I build one into every family. So let's just say we have an intact family, mom, dad, and student. And the student could be a middle student, a low student, a super high-achieving student. And they have their goals. So we build, you know, I'm an athlete, so I kind of go about it in an athletic way of everybody has to have their part on the team.
Uh-huh.
And then we delineate, this is what the parents do, this is what the students do, this is what the teachers do, and I have it in a contract. And the book is actually about the contract.
Ah, an important part of those three legs is the parents.
Mm-hmm. No, one-third of the whole thing is...
That's right. You know, I've often said that all of the kids that we were just bragging about that come in here that have done well, I can't think of an exception. I'm guessing there's probably some out there, but they've all had supportive parents who were also, whether they were public school, private school, or homeschool, obviously homeschool, the children that have parents involved, but even private and public, the parents are just as important to the education as the teachers.
One-third. They're one-third of it. See, that's the part that gets canceled out a little bit, and where the, you know, these really great teachers end up in situations where the parents are completely uninvolved. They won't send the kid to school with a pencil, a good breakfast, or even if they need medicine, on medicine or whatever it might be. And then the teachers have the pressure of teaching those children along with the top kids who are not getting challenged. And something gets lost in the translation there because one teacher with 25 kids cannot meet every single individual need. So that's why I opened my school with just a real passion for and knowing and seeing and being in the trenches of saying, if I could only have worked one-on-one with this child, it would have made all the difference in the world.
Yeah.
So I think if there is a movement or something that will happen in America slowly but surely is that people are going to look up and they're going to say, homeschool's great, the public school's great, charter school's great, private school's great, but my child still has this individual need that's not being met. Where do I go for that? And that there's going to be more and more parents that are, you know, now you're seeing the top parents, of course, do that. They know to do that. They've always been doing that. Their children receive the large scholarships and go on to have fulfilling, you know, lives and careers because they've found their direction. They've been supported. But what about the children that are not supported? My three-legged table works for all children. So it provides the structure, continuity, consistency, and support that every single child needs and deserves, whether or not. So a family may come in and the parents be completely dysfunctional, but a grandmother shows up and I build my parent leg at the table with her.
Ah.
Happy camper.
Okay.
Yes.
You've answered a question that I haven't asked. The question was, how do we strengthen the legs? And that would apply to all three of the legs. Let's say the parent and the teacher, they're fine, but the student is the weak leg.
Okay.
How do you...
They're unmotivated, they're disinterested, they're disengaged. You know, school's not as fun as their video games, and the topics don't interest them. And, I mean, quite frankly, I worry about some of these students. Like, I really, really worry about them because I know their Chinese counterparts are over there in China, and they're fluent in Chinese and fluent in English. And you know, we have only 200,000 Americans learning Chinese, but there's 300 million Chinese that know English in school.
Yeah.
You see, so we're, you know, we need the edge as Americans, and I don't want to panic people, but I'm saying we're not going to have our edge 100 years from now if we keep going the way we're going. And part of it is the students that are disengaged, and there are lots of reasons why students become disengaged. And the one-on-one is obviously the solution for that. You have to find a way to engage them individually. You know, it has to be something that interests them, something that we can pursue. And overcoming the obstacles. If the obstacle is that the parents are not functioning well, then let's find the person in the picture that is. That's part of my three-legged table. If the obstacle is that the kid feels like an outcast and goes to school and is bullied, that is a big, big deterrent for learning. If a child's emotional needs are not met and they feel unsafe and they feel ridiculed or whatever it might be, they cannot learn. It absolutely hinders that ability to learn. So then you have to work on that obstacle, which is the child's confidence. If they're confident, they don't care what the other kids say. So there's usually a number of reasons why a child has failed. And many, many children, like I said, one-third of the students we work with, they come in because they're actually really failing. No, they're just not making it. I had one little girl, she was in the second grade, could not read, failing everything, and she had attention deficit disorder, and she allowed me to share. Her name's Heather. And, of course, everything's confidential that I do, but some of the families have stepped forward and said, I really want you to tell our story when you tell your story, you know, nationally, which I'm doing now. And so after 1 year of the individual and customized program, she gained a year, you know, she was actually a year above grade level in her reading. So by the time she went to third grade, all of her reading functions were at a fourth grade level. So we had her 1 year above so she could compensate. And then she stayed for 9 years at my school for us to groom her. We groomed her SAT, her GPA. We stayed ahead of the game. We knew what was coming up next, so we prepared her. It was a way to outrun her ADD, her attention deficit disorder. And when she graduated, there was only one school that had the animal rehabilitation major she wanted, where she could actually rehabilitate animals once she graduated. And they gave her a $54,000 scholarship to attend her school, which was a full, complete tuition-free ride.
And that's what's extremely important, because just last year, one of the high schools, their graduating class, had five students who were valedictorians because they exceeded over the 5.0 level. Mm-hmm. And now there are some parents out there that are saying, well, those valedictorians had all the bells and whistles, they had home computers and things, but what about the student that whose parents aren't able to provide a home computer? And you do address that issue in the book by what you were just saying, because all students, when they go to the school system here in our community, they all have access to everything.
They do.
So just because their parents aren't of the monetary income bracket, those other students that do, they shouldn't be... They should be able to excel where the higher income students should excel also.
Yeah, so let me tell you one of the things that I have really kind of worked out about that. It's a proven fact that this three-legged table works within the constructs of the Salisbury Tutoring Academy. You know, and my business is growing. Like, I've just sold one in Winston-Salem, which is north of here, and it's growing, and I'd love to see them everywhere. But even if my franchise weren't to grow everywhere, if people didn't have one in their community, the three-legged table can be used at any school. A teacher needs to take one of those lower-income children who doesn't have very much going on the home front and certainly does not have a computer at the house. Do you think that one of these higher-income parents would allow a little bit of their time and maybe provide an incentive if the teacher went to them and said, here's your valedictorian child, but I have this other one, and I'm putting him on this contract, and I need a parental presence here. Would you do A, B, C? Do you think that as Americans that we would give that?
Certainly.
So that's my proposition. In many places that we still do have, yes, many people are just out for themselves, and they look out for their kin, and that's their whole day from sunup to sundown. But I really believe that the bottom line of American spirit is that we do want to help each other.
Yeah, I do too. You know, I used to think that the income of a family really did not play a role in how educatable a child is.
No, statistics say no. Statistics say across the board, all the numbers nationally, lower income children perform lower on scores.
Oh, yes. But I used to disagree with that. And in fact, I think in a day that's no longer true, once upon a time, I think it was true. I think a low-income child could probably do just as well. And Abraham Lincoln, who was a poor child, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Could do just as well scholastically as a rich kid.
But he had a mother who provided him a lot of books, too. Keep that in mind. She made sure he was surrounded by books.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the money factor was necessary for the books, but we do have a public library system in this country, and even later than President Lincoln, or Abraham Lincoln before he was president, in the 1960s, I don't know that that money really was necessary. But now, because of the fact that the computer is such an important part of what a child is going to need in his or her choice of work, you really have to incorporate that computer. And if you don't have it, you don't learn on it. I mean, to me, that's the one thing I think that changed my mind about that. I think when I grew up in the 60s, Beatrice, that I could probably you could probably take a poor kid who had access to a public library.
Yes.
And have them do just as well in tests as the rich kids.
Larry, I think that you are correct about that. I mean, I think that there was more of an equal opportunity than there may be now. And of course, you know, there's all the big schools, Yale and Harvard, that are pride themselves in pulling kids and offering them full rides and having no loan owed when they graduate. You know, just literally providing the opportunity for lower income children and that lower income children who have high SAT scores. You know, there's actually a glut in the market for that. People looking for those children. Unfortunately, like you and I talked about, many low-income children don't come with the high SAT scores, though. That's the crux of the problem.
But since our school system has classrooms that every classroom incorporates the computers, and the school system day ends like at 2 or 2:30, then those children who don't have the computers at home should be allowed to stay at the schools to do their work, so they are on the level playing field. And also, Larry did say the public libraries in our community, they do have computers and they are free access.
Right, right.
I love the concept. I mean, the concept makes all the sense in the world. And the book is actually a handbook, a guidebook. If you wanted to incorporate it into your curriculum right now, you probably could. I'm sure you could probably go to the website and find out more information. I wanted to make sure we get that information out before we run out of time. Our guest is Beatrice R.D. Hare. She is a teacher, and she has found a way to break through to some of the kids that need a little extra help, and it's simple. It's the one-on-one, making sure the parents are involved, technique.
Yes.
The three-legged table is illustrated in the book as the parent, teacher, and student, all three legs, and you really need all three.
Mm-hmm.
If the parent is not there, homeschool or not, it's not going to be as successful as
even one of the drawbacks to homeschool is that it often misses that third leg because the teacher's not there. You see?
Exactly.
So there are some homeschool situations that succeed, but there are many that don't because that component's missing. And obviously, the one-on-one tutoring can build that in as well.
Oh, that's okay. That's true. Now, does the teacher sometimes in the homeschooling situation, is the teacher sometimes replaced in a way by technology, by maybe online teachers? But then there's still a teacher. There's still a teacher in the picture.
Yes. If the parents do incorporate outside curriculum or outside the coach or the online classes, yes. But often and sometimes it's just the parent and the student and they're on their own. You know, there's a sense that the mom sits with the child at the kitchen table.
Beatrice, let me just reintroduce you for those just tuning in. Beatrice Hare is our guest. She is the founder and owner of the Salisbury Tutoring Academy. It's a one-on-one school. You probably picked up on that already if you were listening long enough. The one-on-one school is a franchise tutoring academy for ages 4 up until adult. So maybe we could even learn from it, Robin. She was awarded the title of U.S. Small Business Administration 2010 North Carolina Small Business Person of the Year, and also she received the Congressional Recognition Award from Congressman Howard Coble for her work in April of last year. In May of last year, she was congratulated personally by President Barack Obama. That's pretty exciting. Did you get to go to the White House?
I did. I went to the White House to the Rose Garden, and I got up early, first one there, sat on the front row, and
nice.
He got done speaking. He came and shook my hand, and I got the photo.
Nice. Oh, good for you. Good for you.
Excellent.
Okay, so this is what we're waiting for. We're waiting for somebody who can because you know, you pointed it out earlier that we can sit and debate all day long about what we need to do with our educational system, but unless we actually do something, all that debate in the world is not going to help the kids.
I'm not a talker. I'm a doer. I'm a builder. I go in and I say, let's build three-legged tables. I'm going to suggest that to teachers all over America. I'm suggesting it to parents. I'm suggesting it to students. Build your three-legged table support. Find your teamwork. Figure out who's on your three-legged table. Get a commitment, read the book, learn how to do it. The book is simple. It's a 69-page, easy read. Once you get the hang of it, it incorporates into all ages, into all situations with all types of goals. The goals can be academic. The goals can be behavioral. The goals can be just, you know, whatever they want to achieve. And I give all kinds of different examples in the book. Also, if you go to my website, the www.stalpd, you know, the Salisbury Tutoring Academy Limited, you take the initials for that. STALPD. There's an excerpt of the book on there that you can read just to try to get a feel for if this is the right book for you and if this is the right thing for your family.
Okay, so STALPD.com?
Yep.
Okay.
And then my advice to parents is, oh my gosh, you know, learn these skills because you have to prepare your child for a totally different kind of global economy coming in the future and just get the leg up there, get the edge.
Let me ask you something, Beatrice. One of the things that comes up every single time we talk about education is that everybody does not have the same aptitude as everybody else. Some of us are more scholastic. Some of us may be more mechanical. Maybe some are more artistic. At what age do we start to refine the education?
Very good point. I have to tell you that I really believe in multiple intelligence. Thank goodness my husband's better with technology than I am, and thank goodness I'm more of a visionary than he is, so to say, right?
Uh-huh.
There's a sense of multiple intelligence is what we need, and early on, like with Heather, in the second grade, we asked her, what do you want to be when you grow up? And you know what she said? She said, an underwater archaeologist. And her parents wanted to laugh and scoff at that. And I said,
no.
Let her have that goal in the second grade. Obviously, it changed to being an animal rehabilitator. Not that different, really.
No, not really.
And so, but it was about, so you plant the seeds early on. And I just recently learned about this incredible school that's going to be opened in downtown Manhattan. It's a for-profit private school. $75 million have been invested in it. And it's going to be bilingual, a bilingual school. Everything's going to be taught in Spanish or Chinese and English, and they're going to have them, you know, all throughout the world. And basically the idea there is that that they have to choose their track pretty early on. In other words, what do they love? Let's develop that.
What is the primary, it doesn't, and I'm ignorant about the Chinese language, I'll be honest. I always was under the impression that Chinese had several languages. Like there was Mandarin Chinese, which is considered, the primary one.
Yes.
So is that the one that we're...
Kind of like different Englishes, you know, like we have the British English and the Southern English.
so it's really not that different.
There's kind of like one basic Chinese that all Chinese people know, yeah.
Okay.
But there are variations, absolutely.
And do you know Chinese?
No, I don't. I'm fluent in Portuguese, German, and French.
Okay, well, that's pretty good.
But I'm realizing where this is going. You know, like I'm looking at where the world is going, where the money's going, where the jobs are going, how many friends of mine that I've had just this last year that have gone to China. You know, just like it's a new world is opening up.
Our Chamber of Commerce in this little town took a whole entourage of people to China.
Yes, they did.
Okay, message delivered there, right?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
What I was saying.
Yeah.
And so being global and being open, and then also there is no, you know, it used to almost be like, I'm an 80s girl, and you could graduate, and you really didn't need a big skill set, and you'd definitely be able to make a living. Might go to college, might not go to college. It's not that way now. You know, a kid who graduates who's not going to college, there's really not a job for that person.
Well, and you're right on target, because even the young man, young woman, who wants to be an automobile mechanic has to have an understanding of technology, because cars are no longer like they used to be.
And
exactly.
They sell on eBay, so you have to have...
Beatrice, I don't know. Do you have to run, or can you take a call from a listener?
No, I would love to stay on.
Okay, let me take a call from a listener, and then we'll give away the book that I have here, and we'll get the information again on how to get it. Good morning. You're on the air with Beatrice Hare.
Good morning, Larry. Beatrice, about the Chinese languages and all this, that, and the other, there's at least five major Chinese languages. Now, having some experience with a bunch of Chinese, in my reference years ago, I had four of them in there, Larry. Two of them could speak to each other, and the other two couldn't speak to nobody. But they could all read the newspaper. I used to look at that and be amazed.
Oh, wow.
They pick up the newspaper, and it's common. The Chinese characters are common. But you got Mandarin, Fukunese, Cantonese, two or three other ones.
But you think the Cantonese and the Mandarin they're similar when they're written. Is that not correct?
No, the Chinese characters are all the same. Anybody that can read Chinese can read a newspaper, but they can't speak to each other. That's a craziest thing I ever saw.
It's a dialect. It is a dialect thing, but like I said, the written language is the same throughout the whole country.
Exactly the same, but they couldn't even talk to each other. I couldn't look at that.
even in Germany, in southern Germany and northern Germany, they don't understand each other.
Well, yeah, most people didn't understand me either. I'm from Texas, so that's just the way it goes, folks. Larry, when are you going to give that book away?
Right now.
All right, later, or do I have to hang up?
Oh, you got it, Ken.
Thank you so much. This is going to be a good book. I'm going to get my granddaughter so educated. I got this thing here, Educating America 101 Strategy. I'm going to load up my little granddaughter.
You do that. Thank you.
All right.
You hang in there, lady. You're doing real good.
Thank you.
All right. Ken is this one. But in fairness to our other listeners, actually we have two. Beatrice sent us two of them. So the first person calls, we'll get the other one. The rest of us, though, have to go buy it and find out more online. The website that we got from Beatrice's S, as in Sam, T-A, LTD, and that's for the, is it Southbury?
It's Southbury Tutoring Academy Limited, so it's the initials.
Okay, STA, LTD.
And it's also available on Amazon and Books A Million and, you know, Barnes & Nobles and that kind of thing. It can be ordered online as well.
Okay, and I have another listener. Good morning. Did you want the other book?
Yes.
tell me your first name.
This is Kathy.
Kathy. Okay, Kathy, you got it.
Thank you. I have a young girl, a young friend that is a school teacher in lower income, so I think this is perfect.
Oh, great. Okay, well, thank you for calling in.
And Kathy, tell her to tell others. Get the word out.
You will be if I can ask Larry. I'll do that.
She will do that. She's a word getter out of
her. Yeah.
Yeah, and going back to what I used as my intro, it is really true. I mean, there is no one answer. There are children who do well, period. And I think if we have a way to help the children who aren't doing well do a little bit better and become a stronger third leg, I mean, I think it's easier to get the child who's not a good student to become a better student than it is to get the parent who's not involved to become involved. That's a harder task, I think.
The parent education part of my business is extremely challenging.
That's got to be the hardest part. Now, the teacher part, you can almost switch teachers, just go to another teacher. If your teacher's the weak leg, you can find
it. You know what I say? There's a lot of criticism about our teachers aren't excellent enough. We don't pay them enough money to attract the high quality. I just disagree with that.
I disagree, too.
That there's just very caring teachers out there, but if you give good teachers a great tool, and that's what this is a great tool that worked for me in the classroom, and then, like I said, I went on to, you know, the American way is the capitalist way. If you can make money at it, you know it works, right?
That's right.
Around this premise, and now I'm saying let's put it back in the classroom, which is where it originated and where I started using it and why I created it.
What a great interview you've given us, Beatrice. I agree with what you're saying. I applaud what you're doing. Keep doing it, and maybe we'll be back on the charts as being one of the best educated nation in the world like we used to be. Beatrice, you're probably going to be behind that whole movement.
I want it to happen. I'm very, very committed to the process, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much for what you're doing for all of us.
Great. Thank you, too, for a wonderful interview, and keep up your good work with the Robin and the Giants, too.
Well, thank you for knowing that, too. Yeah, she was asking what our audience was. I had to clarify. Well, that audience is not this audience. It's two different worlds for us. Here we're Larry and Robin. There we're Robin and the Giant. Yeah, she gets top billing in the other world.
That's right.
All right, Beatrice, thank you so much for what you do.
You got the talent.
Thank you. It's wonderful speaking to you all.
We'll take a little break and be right back.
Thank you so much.